Welcome to the Sermon Podcast feed of Liberty Church Collingswood, where we want to live, speak, and serve as the very presence of Jesus in Collingswood and surrounding boroughs, or wherever God has placed you. Find us at libertycollingswood.org. Part of our mission is preaching sermons, so here you go. Keep in mind that these messages are designed to bring the timeless message of Jesus to bear in specific contexts to specific people, the whole eternal word, changing worlds thing. Would you hear good news here? Bon appetit.
Hear these words from the book that we love. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another and, if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord. Allow me to pray. Heavenly King, Comforter, Spirit of Truth, who is everywhere present and fills all things, treasury of good things, giver of life, come, dwell in us, and cleanse us of every stain in your work of sanctifying our souls. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. If y'all were to come over to my house, I wonder how you would feel if, let's say you're coming over for dinner, and you and your family, or maybe your plus one, you came in the door, and I guided you upstairs for dinner, upstairs, and I led you into my bathroom. And I would say, okay, let's just circle up, sit down on the ground, however is most comfortable for you, and the food will be right out. That's how we do it in my house. Here's another thing to imagine. Let's say you are invited to like a feast, like a coronation feast in Buckingham Palace. It was just the feast of feasts. You came, you sat down at the table, and there was old, centuries-old china put before you in polished silver, and you sat down, and when the drinks came out, one of the servers came out, and in front of everybody put a beautiful plastic red solo cup for your drinks. I'll give you one more. Let's say it's prom night, you teenagers who go to prom. Your date is all ready to go, dressed to the nines, and you've got a few different footwear options, and you are running late because you just can't decide, and on the way out, you just say, all right, I'm going to go with the flip-flops, the aqua socks. You know, none of these things, I don't think they're against anybody's written rules. I don't know if you need a written rule about eating in the bathroom or having dinner guests over and asking them to sit on the ground in your bathroom and having a meal together. You might just not think of it, but it for sure doesn't fit. None of these things fit. And the very first words in Colossians 3, verses 12 and following are put on. It's there again in verse 14. Put on. You may remember if you were here last week, some of the first words were put off. We're in a section in the Epistle to the Colossians about things that fit and things that don't, depending on not just what you're supposed to do at dinner parties or proms or coronation feasts. When the context is like the most significant thing you can imagine, we're not so much talking about a map of rules, although there for sure are some rules in Colossians 3, but it's way more about what fits and what doesn't, depending on the context. And the context, it's not there before you in your worship folder, but if you have a text on your app or a hard copy of the scriptures, or if you just have a good memory of Colossians 3, way back in verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, if then you have been raised with Christ, raised with Christ. This is really the summation of the first two chapters, that at the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ, death itself is put to death when the man who is God goes through it in love as a voluntary sacrifice. And because death can't hold him, he rose again and lives to save anyone who is united to him by faith. There's a union. Actually, it was right there in what Joe read in the words of assurance after our confession today. He united all things in himself, things in heaven and things on earth. That's the context. What does it mean that you and I, if we are in Christ, are raised with him where he is seated at the right hand of God? If that's true, and Jim's been unpacking that the last few weeks, if that's true, if that's the context, then what in the world should that mean for your behavior and mine? How does it fit? What fits as you make your way through a confusing world? Well, you don't wear flip-flops to the prom. You don't drink out of red Solo cups in Buckingham Palace. You actually do not eat dinner in the bathroom at my house, if you were wondering. And you don't walk around this world disregarding your union with Christ. It just doesn't fit. The truth is, the Apostle Paul would have us believe, if we're in Christ, the truth is, and this is capital T truth, the truth is that you are a heaven and earth creature. And you tend just to believe that you're an earthly creature. But it's not true. It's not true. You're a heaven and earth creature. By the way, this stuff of being raised with Christ and its significance for what in the world that means for us walking around on earth, this isn't just a topic for the third chapter of the book of Colossians. It is cover to cover in your scriptures that you are a heaven and earth creature, and you forget it all the time, and so do I, and you live as if the spiritual reality isn't anchoring you now and in eternity. Here's just what I mean. If you know just the slightest bit about the Bible, the first verse, in the beginning, God created the heavens, a created space, by the way, it says so, the heavens and the earth. The first verse. The last verses of Scripture, if you're familiar with the very last chapter of the book of Revelation, it's this vision that the Apostle John has of the heavenly city, the heavens, coming down to earth like they were always supposed to be together. And in the end, they do come together perfectly. Your scriptures are about heaven and earth. A human being, according to Genesis chapter 2, is about heaven and earth. Do you know that whatever else you are made of dust, earthly stuff, and what else? The breath of God. That's Genesis 2. Heaven and earth. That's what a human being is. Christ is heaven and earth, fully God, fully man. What else? I mean, we could keep going. The sacraments, which we're going to observe in a few moments. Tactile stuff, baptism, the Lord's Supper. Touchable, earthy stuff, blessed for spiritual blessing. Spiritual blessing coming through things that you can taste and touch. It's a heaven and earth world, It's a heaven and earth existence. It's a heaven and earth church. Your walk with Jesus is a heaven and earth walk. And of course, it's there in the Lord's Prayer, which I think you pray most weeks. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You're raised with Christ where he is, but you're walking around. What in the world fits if that's true? Back to Colossians 3. If you were listening along or if you were reading around along in your worship folder on page 8, there's kind of a long list here. And there's a lot of ways you can treat a list like this. It's a lot. Put on not just one thing, a lot of things. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. I mean, I hope you're like making notes. So what do you do with a list? I mean, that's just one verse, by the way. It keeps going. What do you do with a list this long when you come across it in the Bible? There's a few ways to think about lists like this in general. I'm talking mainly about Colossians 3 today, but in general. First of all, is it a checklist? That if there's a little empty box next to kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, loving one another, letting peace rule in your hearts, being thankful, like three times it says be thankful, so there's three different boxes. You got to be thankful at least three times a day. Singing spiritual songs, hymns, psalms, can't leave out any of them. Doing everything in word and deed in the name of Jesus Christ. That is a heck of a checklist, ladies and gentlemen. You better check them off. It's in the Bible. Is this a checklist? It's actually not really a checklist. What is it then, a list like this? Is it a grading scale where you could actually get an A or an F? And my youngest is in kindergarten right now. And did you know that kindergarten grades are different than like all the other grades, but they keep changing it, at least in our school district. It used to be, when my oldest was in kindergarten, it was O. Do you know what an O stands for? Outstanding. An S, which is satisfactory. Okay, maybe some of you go to the same school district. And then U, unsatisfactory. But it's not U anymore. It's RFI, room for improvement. Like they just churched up getting an F during story time. It's not a grading scale either. It's not a checklist. It's not a grading scale. You know what it is? I'm going to be completely serious now. You know what it is? It's this kind of list. If you've ever been in the hospital with somebody who's chewing on spiritual things and it's near the end, and maybe they never quite landed in terms of what they believe, but God's maybe a thing, a person, and maybe it's time to do some reckoning, and they'll ask questions like, if heaven's there, if there is a life of the world to come, then what's it like? And if you know something of what's in the scriptures, maybe you begin to tell them. And what comes out might be like a list, but it might be just something like, it's full of grace. What else? It's full of endless compassion. What else? Peace. What else? Anything that anyone ever does is beautified by love, and they want you to keep going. Kids are similar. There's a lot of similarities between those at the end of life and those at the very beginning. When kids say things like, Dad or Uncle John, what is heaven like? You start just describing things like this, and it does not feel like a checklist, and it does not feel like a report card. And they want you to keep going. That is Colossians 3. And with that in mind, would you just let me
read it for you again, the whole thing. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching, admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know, you can read a list like that, like it's a guillotine hanging over your neck. And if you fail on the third thankful occasion of the day, it's just going to fall. Or you can listen to it like somebody who's just answering the question, what's it like to live endlessly in the presence of God and God's family? Now, do you look at that list and find things that are wanting in your own life? Absolutely. Of course. That's why Paul wrote it, is because people actually needed to put it on. Because we forget and we forget and we forget. And so he had to say it again and again and again. You need to put this on, just like you're getting dressed, again and again and again. How do you increasingly live this way? How do you do it? How do you live like you really are united with the living Christ, who is fully God and fully man? In a word, communion. Walking with him and his people. What are the ways, I would ask you, what are the ways that heaven is part of your life now? Are you hearing of the love of the living Christ? Is it being seen? Is it being heard? Is it being storied, dreamed about, called out when it's actually seen, when love and peace and compassion and forbearance and forgiveness and grace are actually modeled before your very eyes? Do you name it and say, ah, it's heaven on earth? Not in its fullness, but unmistakably heaven on earth. I get overwhelmed by this list, friends. Don't get me wrong. It's a big list still. It's more than a list, but it's not less. Especially by the very last verse, verse 17. Go there with me again. There's all these ultimate words that sometimes trouble my heart. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Remember, this isn't a guillotine that's going to drop on your neck if you make a misstep. I'd like you to think of it this way. If everything should be done in the name of Jesus, and it isn't, I wonder what it would be like for you to think of your everything in this way. If everything can be done in the name of Jesus, that means anything can be done. Like the next thing. Like one thing. Like one thing that is not a million miles away from you,
One thing that is like not you personally figuring out how to end the political tension in Collingswood, to say nothing of the divided states of America. It is not you personally taking the love of Jesus and somehow jamming it into the heart or ears of somebody else that you feel like should be a little bit more like you. It's like one next thing that you actually could do in the name of Jesus. It is not very far away from you. This list is not unaccomplishable. It begins with the very next thing that you really could do, and you're going to fail, but you know what? There's going to be a next thing, and there's going to be a thing after that, and you can put on kindness. I would invite you to take 15 seconds of silence. 15 seconds. What is one heaven on earth thing in the name of Jesus that you really could do today? Maybe you have it, maybe you don't. Sometimes I talk to people and they'll say, when I'm having conversations like this, John, I'm not going to fake my way through this life. If I'm not feeling loving, I'm not going to act loving. Didn't Jesus say something about, like, you know a tree by its fruit? And, like, if the fruit's there that says something about the roots, well, there's not a whole lot of love or forgiveness or grace or compassion or peace in my roots today, so I'm not going to be a faker. I'm not going to live that way. Well, you know, you've got a little bit of a point, but like you've got like half a point. The half a point is this. It's true. What is in the heart, the story's told by what comes out. But you're part of a heaven on earth people that from the beginning were all about also outside in. Inside out is the way it goes for sure, but it also goes outside in. Like you can get involved in things with people around you that begin to affect your heart. You know, there were three pilgrimages a year. Three pilgrimages a year that if you were an adult Israelite, you were supposed to try to make to Jerusalem. They're right there in the Torah. And we get stories even in the life of Jesus in the Gospels of people coming to Jerusalem. For all three are there in the gospel narratives and Acts. You have people coming for the Feast of Tabernacles. You have people coming for Passover. It's the week he was killed. You have people coming for Pentecost, which, big reveal, that was Pentecost in the book of Acts. And what you didn't have was a whole train of people making pilgrimage to Jerusalem saying, you know what? I don't have feasting in my heart today. So I'm going to turn around and go back home, and I'm going to wait till there's a feast in my heart, and then I'm going to go on my own to Jerusalem. Actually, from the beginning, feasting was in your feet too. That actually the liturgies and the worship and the spiritual songs that God's people sing together and pray about, just because it's time, really do work from the outside in as well. Do not believe that it's only one way. It's both. You know what's great news? Great news that on the day you don't feel the least bit compassionate, you don't feel the least bit peaceful, you're not going to forbear anything today because your life is hard. It really is hard. And you don't feel an ounce of love. You know what's great news is someone else in this room is having a different day. And you are not just united to Jesus. You're united in Jesus to his people. That's great news, folks. So if you took 15 seconds and you asked the question, what is one thing I could do to enact that I actually, this is important, that I actually could do, that God actually has before me to enact heaven on earth? Here's another one that you need just as much. What is one thing that you see in someone else in this room that is heaven on earth, apart from which we'd be in a lot of trouble because there might not be any compassion in the room today or patience?
or forgiveness or love. It might be in the children. It might be in the person who's most depressed. It might be in the person who's most physically ill. It might be in the person who's not wearing it on their faith, on their face, but it still comes out from them. I'll give you 10, 15 seconds again. Think about it. Who can you affirm today in the family that you're united to because they're living out heaven on earth? Friends, in Christ, you are a living, breathing, walking, eating, loving, forgiving, sinning still, but true member of the body of Christ. You are a living instance of heaven on earth. It's the capital T truth, the apostle says. And you didn't earn it. And this is not a grade report. And it's not a checklist. The one question I want you leaving this room with today is kind of the only question in life. If Christ is real, and you're going to face him at some point in a way that's more lucid and clear than maybe he feels to you right now, on that day, what will you wish you had done this day? If he's real, if his love is real, if grace is powerful, if forgiveness is a thing, how will you want to spend your life reflecting it on the ground here today? By his grace, by the power of his Spirit, let us ask him to show us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hey, could that have been the best sermon ever? The odds are strongly not in its favor. Still, thanks for listening, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. You can also check out our version of a preaching after party, the Post-Sunday Blues, a preaching postmortem, on the same podcast feed where you can go backstage with the sermon. Live, speak, and serve at you later.